Hello, my name's Bill Burrows. I'm a retired faculty member from the Foster Business School at the University of Washington in Seattle. Today I'd like to talk with you a little bit about asynchronous programming in the context of Visual Basic and hopefully dispel some misconceptions and reinforce some of the ideas underlying the concept of asynchronous programming, which was introduced to the .NET framework in .NET 4.5 and continues in .NET 4.5.1. So the first thing we have to do is displace a concept which is unfortunately sometimes misunderstood by folks, and that is that when an asynchronous method is called, that method is not called on a separate thread. In fact, what really happens is the asynchronous process begins executing, and the thread from which it was called is actually unblocked so it can continue to do other things. Because there isn't the need for a separate thread, then what we have in asynchronous programming is not the same as we have in parallel programming. In parallel programming, you would have separate threads running in parallel, that is running on different processors within a multi-core processing environment. And that's not what's happening in the asynchronous process. Finally, it's important to emphasize that while the asynchronous process does not require a second thread, it can be done on a separate thread if one wants to. However, it's almost never the case where that's a good idea. You will generally not get the response done any quicker, and you will add unnecessary overhead by spinning up an asynchronous process in a separate thread, particularly in activities such as I/O, file I/O activities, and activities in the cloud getting stuff from another location. Now, what the asynchronous function does is it gives back a task, which in some programming languages is referred to as a promise. Basically, it says, I promise that when I have some information that is produced by this asynchronous operation, I promise to return it to you. That's what happens. However, the task returns immediately as simply a placeholder, and it says, go ahead and return to the thread that called me. Here's a placeholder, and when the data come back, when result come back, I will come back to this placeholder with the actual data that you can resume processing that data or results, whatever comes back. So that's what a task actually is. Now, the user interface thread is particularly sensitive to blocking. If the user interface thread is blocked, then essentially the user interface freezes up. So it's important that asynchrony is used in the context of a long delay that could block the user interface thread long enough for the user to perceive that blocking. You really don't want to do that. So we find the asynchronous concept and asynchronous methods particularly useful in the UI thread. And remember that the UI thread is the thread that manages things that the user does on the user interface, you know, the clicking of a button or the loading of a page or the dropping down of a selection component. Finally, and I've called this my really important slide, is that when you call a method that's marked with the async keyword, that method starts to run at the top, just like any method would, continues running in an asynchronous fashion, and therefore is blocking the method that called it, blocking the thread that called it. But as soon as it reaches the first await, it suspends its operation, as I said in the previous slide, and the third point there, and control is returned to the caller of the method. While control is returned to the caller of the method, the asynchronous process continues to execute, not in the same processor, but someplace else, could be in the disk controller, could be on a machine located thousands of miles away. It continues to process. And what that does is it ensures that while this asynchronous process is running, the user interface thread that called the event, that called the asynchronous process, remains responsive. And that's going to be my focus. So with this little discussion here of sort of the theory and the concepts and misconceptions, I'd like to do a demo. My general philosophy in tutorials is to keep each little video short. So we'll come back in the next video and we'll talk about the demo. So now let's take a look at a demonstration and see how these concepts impact a real life program. I've got Visual Studio here. I've created a small WPF application. You can see the window here. I have a couple of buttons here. One button is calls code that starts a data transfer from a web service. Does it synchronously, and we will see the impact of that. And then I have another button over here which calls the same web service to download some data, but it does it in an asynchronous fashion. Right here, you can't see it, but we have a little component from Telerik, and this is just a busy indicator, a little circle that goes around and around and around, and that's going to be used to show whether or not the user interface is blocked or not. If it continues to function, then the user interface thread is functioning, and if it freezes, that means the user interface thread is blocked. And then down here I just have a text box and a text block, and I'm going to put some information inside here as the various two events fire. So that's the essence of this. Let me go ahead and get this started. And you can see that the UI thread indicator from the very beginning starts. Let me go back to PowerPoint for a second and move to my next slide. And let me grab that application and simultaneously paste it over here. Before we look at that, let's just look at this. This is the synchronous click event. And what I have here is I have a method. I have a client defined. The client, well, I better go back to Visual Studio to show you that. So let's take a look at the code. My client is a .NET web client. And so it has the methods available within the web client class. And the web client has a download string method, as you can see here. It also has down here in the other procedure a download string task async. So this one is the download string that is synchronous and blocks. And this is the one that creates an asynchronous task and doesn't block. So that's the essence of what we have to work with here. Now let's go back to our PowerPoint and bring our application back up. So you notice that I have the user interface. Again, I said that this thing is active. And in fact, the reason why I can drag this around is because the UI thread is not blocked. Notice when I put the cursor over the button, it changes color. All of these behaviors are behaviors that are being processed on the UI thread. And none of these behaviors will work if the UI thread is blocked. Now I've indicated here that we've got the UI thread, which I've just shown as a continuous line here. And when I click on this, we're going to go ahead and enter this sub-procedure. And as soon as you start to process anything on the UI thread or any other thread, that thread is dedicated to that procedure and can't do other things. So that's going to block the thread from other activity on that thread. And the important thing to note is that this download string, which is done in a synchronous fashion, I'm going to a web service. The web service is maintained by Microsoft, and what it is an OData feed for the AdventureWorks database. And I'm downloading one of the tables, one of the entities from the AdventureWorks table, and it's about 750,000 bytes in length, so it's not going to happen instantaneously. I've got a pretty slow network connection here. 1.5 million bits per second, old-fashioned DSL. So we're going to see a delay. So I'm going to go ahead and click on this. And when I click on this, you'll notice what's happening. You'll obviously be aware of the fact that something's blocked. Notice we put information, start sync download, before we actually go to the download. And you'll notice that does not show up. And so let me just go ahead and click on start. And the first thing you see is the busy indicator quits moving. If I move my cursor to one side or the other, nothing highlights. And I'm trying to drag this around. And the only reason to drag it there at the end was because the thing finished. The UI thread now is active again. We have highlights here. So I've sort of gone through this process here. Let's just do it one more time. So now we're inside this thread blocked area waiting for this download string to finish. And we just left that. The reason why this first information didn't show up when I first clicked the button is because that would be an event that the UI thread would have to process. And because the UI thread is not free to process anything other than what's going down here, then that can't happen till this finishes. That's why when I click, nothing shows up down here, and all three lines of output show up simultaneously when the synchronous download finishes. Okay, so that's the thread blocking issue. This on the UI thread with a very obvious implication to the end user. Let's go ahead and move ahead here. So now here's using the download string test async. What I'm doing here is I'm defining a task of string called getStringTask, and it is defined as this behavior right here, this task async operation. And then I am going to go ahead and execute that task by implementing the await. It's an async procedure, and it has an await. Now, what's going to happen is when this starts to run is the thread is going to be blocked when I first start the procedure. And as I execute these statements, it's going to remain blocked. And what's going to happen is when I come down here to the await and actually launch off the asynchronous task, then that's going to cause this procedure basically to suspend. Remember, a promise is going to be returned. A task is going to be returned. The task is going to be empty, but says, I promise to give you some data later, and I'll tell you when that happens. And immediately at that point, the controls return back to the calling thread. So the blocking operation only occurs while these first three and a half statements, I'm going to call this a half a statement because it gets started but doesn't finish. That's going to give us some immediate responsiveness. So let's go ahead and run this. So I'm going to click on the async. And notice that as soon as the thread is unblocked, then this start sync async download will show up. So let me go ahead and click on this. There's the printout. We still have a user interface which is responsive. You can see that. I can drag this around. And now we've come back and we've done the end async download and we've got the characters counted. So obviously when I click the async version of this procedure, the user interface remains responsive and that's what we want to do. Now, let's go and talk a little bit more about what actually happens under this context. When this await keyword is encountered, it launches this task, this downloads string task async. And this is where people get a little confused because we notice the user interface thread, the UI thread, is remaining active. It's not blocked, but it's also doing something else, and what it's doing is it's running the task on this processor right here while the UI thread remains responsive. And you might think or get confused that that's parallel processing, but that's not because this task is running on a whole different machine. It's not running in a different thread on the same processor, which is what the definition of parallel processing really is. Continuing that discussion, this code right here is basically put aside until the await process actually gets the result back. So when the task completes, it automatically causes execution to continue in both a sequential and synchronous fashion. So when that code is done, the system is notified, the thread is blocked as this downloaded string is populated, and these two text box operations are completed, and then response comes back up and return to the UI thread, which unblocks it. So instead of having that continuous blocking through the entire code, we have a short blocking. We let something else take care of the thread, manage, I don't mean the thread, I mean the task, doing whatever needs to be done. And then we have some brief blocking again as the task returns its result and we need to process that. In the old days, this would have been a callback. We would have registered a callback in this part. These would have been two separate routines. The callback would have been executed essentially when the system determined that the results had been returned. We're really not doing anything different than we did in the old register, the callback and the callback approach, except we're making it appear much better in that it looks sequential. So we have the sequential processing to begin with. It starts here, comes down, launches the task, returns control to the thread. Internally, and that's all that happened in this async await process, is that internally the compiler has separated the code for us. The compiler has written the callback, managed the callback, and makes us just in our mind perceive that, okay, we're going to await here, return control, we're going to wait here, and when this is done, we're going to continue. And that's the essence of the async and await keyword combination to give us the asynchronous processing available in Visual Basic and .NET 4, 4.5 and beyond. Well, that's it. I hope you found this useful, and hopefully it's now clear to you. Just as a reminder, the Metro style applications, also known as the modern applications, also known as the Windows Store applications, the stuff that's designed to run on WinRT, have an extensive asynchronous library API. They have basically said, and I believe the number is 50 milliseconds, any operation that is going to take longer than 50 milliseconds has an async capability, so that you can leave the touch and feel user interface totally responsive as other activity takes place. So from this point forward, you're going to be doing a lot of asynchronous programming if you stay with the Microsoft .NET framework and the WinRT operating system and its supporting functions. Okay, thanks for listening.